Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here until 5 a.m. It's Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now. Any artist, any song. Wildcard Wednesday, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Now, all of you know that we are participating and very, very happy to participate in the WGN Radio Podcast Festival. And the Podcast Festival is taking place Saturday, this Saturday at the Old Town School of Folk. 4544 North Lincoln Avenue, and tickets $25, and it's going to showcase podcasts that are part of this this great radio station, really great radio station. And it's going to be a really great time, and we're thrilled to be a part of it. We're going to be doing a live podcast version of Would Esmeralda Buy That, which is one of our most popular segments. So we're going to do it live, have some audience interactive stuff happening, and we're part of the schedule. And also part of the schedule is Kelly Leonard, who hosts Getting to Yes And. And we haven't talked to Kelly in a while. We thought it would be good to catch up with him and talk about Saturday and all kinds of other stuff. And we welcome Kelly Leonard to the show. Kelly, how are you, man?
I'm good, Nick. How are you doing?
Good. Good to talk to you.
You too.
All right. Listen, before we get to the podcast stuff, and I want to ask you about getting to Yes and the book and all that cool stuff, what do you know the three cast members that have been hired to be on SNL? Do you know? Because they just debuted Saturday.
Yeah. I know one of them, Chris Redd, is a guy who actually was in the Second City Touring Company, Second City System. He was actually in the Second City ETC cast when he got a big Hollywood job and had to leave during rehearsals, so he never actually got to put up and finish the show.
Oh, no.
I know. He helped co-create. It was a really tough experience. And that's not – that's happened before. That happened to Scott Adsit, who left during rehearsals of a show. Chris, I don't know if you remember this, he got announced as a cast member last year, but it was – a leak, and it was wrong.
Oh, no.
So all this information was out there. Everyone, including myself, was thanking him online.
Oh,
and
no.
Then, yeah. And then it was like, guys, I didn't get it.
Oh,
and it's not even clear. I mean, it might be part of the reason he didn't get it. Was it because it leaked? That's actually something that has happened in the past.
Yeah.
But he's one of, like, the good guys. He's a star. I mean, he's one of these guys we saw develop and was like, he's going to be a star, and he is just a great human being. So very happy with that. And then one of the writers who got hired, Richardson, is a graduate of the Comedy Studies program that we do with Columbia College.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. I'm aware of Chris Redd's work. I've seen him perform, and I think he's hilarious. I'm glad it's good to know that he's a nice guy that deserved the break.
Totally.
Yeah, he's very funny, and he was really funny in the Andy Samberg, the Pop Star movie.
Pop Star. Yeah. He's done well for himself. I mean, that's you're right. I mean, it is. There's so many jerks in the industry that when someone who's just a hardworking, good person, you know, gets it, we should all applaud.
In your years, you know, and you're still, you know, working with Second City in different capacity now than you have.
Yep.
But do you know right away when you see somebody? Because, you know, some of the people that you guys hired and worked with over the years, it's insane. It's Tina Fey, Stephen Colbert, Amy Poehler, Keegan-Michael Key, Seth Meyers, Steve Carell. I mean, the list goes on and on. Do you know when you see these people, do you know right away?
Mostly. It's not hard to sort of see the star potential in people. I mean, Chris Farley, no question. Tina Fey, I think most of us were like, there's something special there. I'll give an example of someone we didn't. The person who we all thought was brilliant, but I don't know if they'll ever make it, was Steve Carell.
Uh-huh.
In part because he was so unassuming as a person and a performer.
Yeah.
He got underneath his characters. No one leaving the show going, oh, you know, that's Steve Carell guy. However, any actor who worked with him was like, this is the most brilliant performer I've ever worked with. And now you look at what his career has turned into, and he's in this new Richard Linklater film.
Last Flag Flying, yeah.
Yeah, which I know has gotten, I saw some mixed reviews yesterday, but man, it looked, I mean, like world-class actors, Carell, again, digging into like a serious part. I really just think as an artist, he's starting to take that road that Bill Murray went on where you're like, I had no idea that they had this depth as an actor.
I agree with you 100% to see how his career has gone. I mean, Oscar nominations and you know, for Foxcatcher, which was an amazing performance.
Yep.
I mean, he's Bobby Riggs right now.
Right.
Yeah, and
he
so
can transform himself into characters, and he did that before, and now he's sort of made the sort of the big transition. But he was not, I mean, it was like sort of, that was one where I was like, I don't think any of us really We saw the talent, there's no question, but I don't think we picked that that would be, you know, a star.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. Well, very cool. Well, Kelly, tell everybody what you do with Tekken City now.
So I started this new division around insights and applied improvisation, which is a very fancy way of sort of saying it's when Second City takes its stuff anywhere but the stage. So when we are working in the corporate division, when we are working with educators, when we're working with caregivers, I develop programs, and I run an academic program at the University of Chicago with our partners over there, and I do a lot of sort of speaking on the road and writing, and I'm working on a new book. But it's basically taking everything I've learned in my almost, I'll be 30 years in October.
Wow. 30 yeah. years? Are you kidding me? Wow.
I know. We all. My son is turning 20 next week.
Oh,
I
mean, my God.
I everyone feel old because, you know, I'm Roy's youngest son.
Right.
I was the youngest producer at Second City. I apologize to everyone. Yeah, it's taking all that knowledge and experience and relationships and seeing how we can turn that into doing, frankly, good for the world.
Right. And that's fantastic. And then the book, Yes And. Yeah. Tell everybody about that.
So, you know, this is the cornerstone principle of Second City, and a lot of people know about it, which is that when you are making something out of nothing, when you're improvising, you can't say no, you have to say yes and. And it's sort of, it's the starting place, right?
Right.
So part of the reason we call Podcast Gating Yes And was we want these 30-minute conversations to be about anything. They just can't be about no. They have to examine the possibility that something may be true or not be true. And it was interesting, when I knew we were talking today, we're almost at episode 80, and I was like, all right, what has tied all of this stuff together? And the one thing I could come up with is that the norms are wrong, that the way in general that work works, the way that our political lives work, the way that a lot of relationships are not based on any kind of science or fact, and frankly, they're based on a lot of mistakes, and that bears out, frankly, with the research, but also provides us, like, incredible opportunities to make things better.
Mm. Now, let me ask you a question. But we talked about this the last time we spoke on the air, about how when you guys go to different companies and corporations and apply these things, do you sometimes are greeted with a little apprehension?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, mostly not, which is, I guess, a surprise. But I think maybe that's the factor of they don't expect us to be serious. So people just are thinking it's fun, and then they find out it's sort of transformative. But yeah, there's usually dudes in the back who have their arms folded and, you know, don't want to listen, don't want to play. And the thing is, you know, the fact that that's just people who are afraid, and people who are afraid act out in different kinds of ways. Sometimes that means I'm not going to participate. The fact is, though, when you do that, it stands out so dramatically to everyone else.
Hmm.
And it's likely that you have done that in whatever last meeting you came from. So part of our job is sort of expose those sort of chinks in the armor with regard to ensembles and groups work. Like, who's getting in your way? Who's blocking? Because if that exists, there's probably a problem in your workday. And I'm sure as I'm saying this to you, you're thinking of like, oh, yeah, that guy that I work with.
Yeah.
It exists everywhere. And more, the people at the business schools at universities across America are sort of saying, yeah, that's toxic to productivity. So, look, you know, if the bosses want to make more money, and that's what most of these businesses do, even though it's not what drives everyone else, then they have to get people working well together, and they got to make sure people are happy.
Yeah, yeah. And what are some of the results that you've gotten back, and some of the feedback from the places where you've brought this?
Well, I mean, we're it's a multi-million dollar division, right?
That
a lot of people don't even know that Second City does. So our repeat business is great, and people really find a lot of value in the work. And the thing is, what they end up learning, and I think this is why we do so well, is just like if you go to a gym once, you can't be like, all right, I'm done the year. My muscles are all tuned. I'm
right,
good.
Right.
That really, to get good at this stuff, you have to practice over and over again. And, you know, this even from just being a theater artist, it's not just improvisation. It's this idea of rehearsal, which we don't often get rehearsals in our work lives.
Yeah.
And it's kind of ridiculous that you would never expect the Cubs not to practice before games or have spring training. You wouldn't expect to go to City and see performers on their phones when they're performing. Yet you walk into any business in America, there's no rehearsal. People are on their phones during meetings.
Yeah.
And it's just like the behavior are wrong. So part of what we're trying to do is be part of the cure, which is not just really for us. You know, it's not for companies necessarily to make all this money. Yes, that's a driving factor, but it's also just for people to feel that they've got like a sense of self and agency when they're at their work.
That's great. Here's this might be a stupid question, Kelly, and I'm capable of asking stupid questions.
I hope so.
Has anyone, you know, gone through, you know, or goes through the program that you guys do, ended up going to Second City? Has anybody ended up going to Second City to study?
Well, yeah. So there's an old study before the before the training center was really set up. We just did classes. Like, you would pay $5 or $10 directly to the teacher and go up and do these drop-ins. And Del Close, the sort of famous improv guru, ran most of those.
Yeah.
A guy who worked for Playboy, doing sort of advertising and cartoons, did that, and his name was Harold Ramis. And that's what got him interested in the professional company, and then dropping the gig that made him money to then do the gig that made him no money, that then turned him into a legend.
Right. Well, there you go. That's a great story. Kelly, hang on, okay?
Yep.
We have a lot more to talk about with Kelly Leonard, and he is the host of the podcast here at WGN Radio called Getting to Yes And. And we're going to talk about the podcast, and we're going to talk about what's going to happen on Saturday when he is part of the podcast festival, and we're a part of it. So that's going to be fun. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on 720 WGN and then more with Kelly Leonard. Welcome back, everybody. Hi, it's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're here till 5 a.m., and Steve Grzanich with the opening bell, Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. My guest right now is Kelly Leonard, who is the host of the podcast Getting to Yes and will be a part of the really exciting thing that's happening on Saturday night at the Old Town School of Folk in Lincoln Square. It's the podcast festival, the WGN Radio Podcast Festival, and we're really excited. We're going to be a part of it as well, and so is Kelly, and we welcome Kelly back to the show. Welcome back, Kelly.
Thanks.
Hey, are you enjoying doing the podcast? 80 of them already, huh?
Yeah, I love it. It's. I mean, I always like talking to interesting people, so that's just great. But one of the cool things, too, I didn't realize a byproduct would be, oh, I get, you know, I start these conversations, and then people want to continue them. And so it's amazing how many of these conversations have continued into we either develop a project together or we end up talking about developing a project in the future. So, yeah, it's been awesome.
And tell me about some of the guests that you've had on, some of maybe your favorites from the past.
So just recently, and this is a good example of a project, is I had on iGen Poo. iGen is the executive director of Caring Across Generations and also the National Domestic Workers Alliance. She's a 2015 MacArthur Genes grantee. She's an activist. She's just a badass woman. And part of what she is alerting the world to is this immense problem we've got with an aging population. She calls it an elder boom, as well, like a crisis, because she's like, getting old's great. It's fine. We just need to honor and take care of these people. And guess what? As a country, we're not ready to. 1,000 people turn 65 every single day in America for the next 20 years.
Wow.
And when you start talking about cutting down the immigrant population, guess what? That's who takes care of old people.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of work that we've got to do. And the cool thing that iGen and I sort of got into once we started talking about the work was, you know, improvisation is a great aid to people who are in a caring situation. And so we have co-developed a program with her group called Improvisation for Care, and we're going to pilot a six-week program with the Cleveland Clinic in Las Vegas, where we're working with caregivers over this sick period to give them skills in not just sort of taking care of the people they are in front of, but also themselves. And so that's been like an amazing sort of journey.
Wow.
In one. I mean, I remember when my mom sort of started to develop dementia.
Yeah.
The one thing I didn't do was yes and her. When she would kind of go into like stories, I would try to either block it or, you know, say no or try to shift her back in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And the scientific research they've got out right now is that's not the thing to do. And like, I'm like the yes and guy. I didn't know to do it. So it's sort of, you know, important for me, especially that experience, to give other people this sort of gift of like, yep, this is a way you can deal with this that's going to make it better for you and the person you're caring for.
That's great. And, you know, speaking of which, you also did a show, a podcast about improvisation in Alzheimer's.
Yeah. So this was actually a thing I heard on This American Life with Ira Glass. And everyone and their mother started emailing me afterwards because they know what I'm interested in. And it was two improvisers who had to deal with one of their moms who had Alzheimer's, and they discovered by using their improv skills they were having great success. And so I got on the phone, and, you know, they aren't scientists and they aren't academics, but what happened after This American Life was that the scientists and the academics found them. And that's really one of the interesting things is how little study has been done in this area. Mm-hmm. That's an area now that has got some very good early research to support the idea that improv techniques in general are very good in dealing with people who are not in a state of reality that you're in.
That's fascinating, really. Mm-hmm. All right, on a lighter note, you got to interview Max Weinberg. Come on.
Yeah, how cool is that?
Amazing.
Well, this is his agent. I played soccer with at New Trier.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That was hilarious. But he, yeah, a legend, and told like amazing stories of like hooking up Charlie Watts from the Rolling Stones with his favorite jazz drummers, and the way that he, like that ensemble, because this is the thing about the E Street Band, and for anyone who's ever seen these guys live, I mean, it's like a jazz ensemble. They're incredible.
Yeah.
It's like a Duke Ellington orchestra. They just take over. They kind of have a spirit and mind of their own. And he said, this is Bruce. I mean, Bruce Springsteen is the perfect leader in that he's completely in charge, but he allows for all the ensemble members to have their moment, and it's sort of seamless. So that was a real honor to be able to talk to him.
That's great. And by the way, for people who want to catch up on your podcast, they're available at WGNRadio.com, and they're there. Just go to the page, and you can download them and listen to them at your leisure. So, what's your plan for what are we looking forward to on Saturday? You get up there at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, so I've got a weird week, and when I looked at the schedule, when they told me when the date was, I'm like, huh, all right, I'm giving a corporate speech in Connecticut to a bunch of scientists. I am then flying to Colorado to do my third TEDx. So I'm delivering this TEDx, and it's all around this idea of what I call strategic discomfort, and it's a thing I've been working on with our partners at the University of Chicago, and the idea is that part of what improvisation does is allow you to, you know, work in the world when you are not comfortable necessarily with what's going on, and that can be a great skill. And then I was thinking about what would be the perfect guest. Like, my very first guest on the podcast was Neil Stephenson from IDEO, brilliant guy, Oxford-trained design thinker. And the last time Neil and I were in a car together, he told me this amazing story when he went back to his reunion at Oxford, and it was basically this idea of strategic discomfort. It was like putting yourself in an uncomfortable position in order to make a discovery. So I was like, well, why don't I tie together the thing I'm talking about in Colorado with your amazing storytelling, and who knows what's going to happen. So my very first guest will be my guest at the podcast tool.
Oh, that's great. That's really great. That sounds really great and intellectual. And then we're going to come up on stage and dumb everything down.
And dumb it down?
Yeah.
Please. Yeah.
So
far more interesting.
So that's great. And listen, just on a side note, how's the family, Kelly?
Everyone's great. Son's a sophomore at Skidmore College, theater and English major.
Well, that's a shock. That's a shocker right there.
I know. Yeah. I know. Roy would be so happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we're all doing great. Life is interesting. Life is good.
And how the brothers doing?
They're good. Just saw everyone. My brother Colin just turned 60. Sorry, buddy. I said it. So we all got together out at the Grove in Glenview and got to see everyone and posted pictures online. And then the one comment my son made was gray. That's a picture of all the brothers.
Well, that's true. I mean, everybody, you know, Roy went gray, too.
Yes, I know. I prefer the term silver fox, but sure, gray.
That's pretty funny, man. That's great. So what? Besides Saturday, what are we looking forward to podcast-wise for you?
So I got an interesting one. So yesterday I interviewed Ashley Nicole Black, who is the first black woman to win an Emmy for writing on a variety theory. She writes for Samantha Bee's show, Full Frontal.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley also, for people, she was the woman who was sent into the Republican National Convention to try to get Trump voters to say Black Lives Matter.
Right, right, yeah, okay.
Which was her first appearance on television ever.
Wow.
So I talked to her yesterday, and then today I'm going to interview this guy, Robert Lustig, who's written a book called The Hacking of the American Mind, and he believes that forces are conspiring, corporate forces and food companies and big pharma, to make us unhealthy. So I'm very curious about this guy. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He is a doctor, and he hates sugar. Mm. He thinks sugar is worse than heroin.
Okay.
So I'm very interested in getting to the bottom of it with this guy.
That's great. Kelly, always a pleasure, man. Great to catch up with you.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
Absolutely. And I'll see you on Saturday, okay?
Yep. See you Saturday.
Okay, take care. Kelly Leonard, everybody. He hosts the podcast Getting to Yes and right here at WGNRadio.com. And you can see him live as part of the WGN Radio Festival Podcast Festival. That's Saturday night. This Saturday night, the Old Town School of Folk. And go to WGNRadio.com/events. Get your tickets now. $25. So the whole thing starts at 7, and we'll go on after Kelly, and we're going to be live there as well. It's going to be a great night. So come on out and see some great podcasts live. All right, we'll take a quick break here. The news is up next on 720 WGN.